So up next, we'll have Yolanda Franklin to introduce our next reader.
Hey, Jerome Stern Reading Series. How y'all doing? I got readers on at the Reader Series. All right. What an honor. Thank you so much for allowing me to introduce my friends. So, he's the Papa Legba of hip hop, the son of Robert Johnson, an original MC. His poetic lines mimic the sounds of crossfades and lyrical jabs, all tracks on vinyl that remix family lore and the sonic scenes surrounding his Chicago's wild hundreds. A griot once told him that he is the space between turnstile and records. He is the space between the traditions of spoken word and poetry for the page. Nate Marshall does his homework, y'all. His lyrics and style nod to Gwendolyn Brooks, and he signifies in the Mecca. His rhythm and breaks wink at Miss Lucille Clifton. His debut collection of poetry is a graffiti bridge that dabs and hand jives the Black arts movement without skipping the needle, grooves right into the Breakbeat Poets anthology. So, in the tradition of hip hop, I need a little assistance, please. When I say wild, you say hundreds. Wild. Wild. When I say wild, you say hundreds. Wild. Wild. Thank you, and please help me in welcoming my friend Nate Marshall to the stage.
All right. It's cracking, y'all. You good? Everybody all right? Y'all cool? All right. Just making sure. All right, I'm going to read some poems. Thank you for that intro, Yolanda, and thank you, Florida State, for bringing me out here. I'm going to start with this poem. So, has anyone ever heard of the rapper Too Short? All right, so Too Short is a rapper from Oakland who is particularly vulgar, I think it's safe to say. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else you need to know. He's particularly vulgar. He has a favorite word, which I won't repeat, but starts with a B. That he says with a particular verve that is all his own. So this poem is sort of about Too Short, and you'll see, and about some other people. It's called My Mom's Favorite Rapper Was Too Short. Hey, there we are. Before I could talk, I could stalk Oakland streets in my mind. I'm a cuss word pitched at the tip of a tongue, sung like an omen. Women were the first I saw hum this lullaby. My mama told me about the White House and selling cocaine, Nancy Reagan's business prowess. My big sister helped me count cold cash money, slap snaps at suckers like a pimp. You motherfuckers thought I was gonna change my style? All the while, I'm here holding what I learned. By the time I was 5, I knew, Man, You Still Alive, by heart. The hardest lyric in our whole song. I'm the age to be that plot twist now. How can I unlearn some of the curses that were the first spells I saw conjured? I wrote this rhyme for you. You might not like my rap, and you'd be right. You might be right and not be true. You might be true and not be you. We all have pleasures we're guilty about, not feeling guilty about. We all look for the radical reframing that lets our ass shake. We all gaze in the mirror, mouth our favorite word without speech. Even without volume, we hear it. We all watch ourselves, ask, if not these perjured women, who will make me rich? Cool. So that, my mom really does like Too Short. And there's this one song he has from like 1989 or whatever called Cuss Words, which is like, it's just 8 minutes of like, just filth. And my mother knows every single word. And I also know every single word. So that's sort of where that came from. All right. Since we started there. All right. Cool. Learning gang handshakes after Lucille Clifton. My one hand holding tight to the neighborhood, stubborn and still. This hand has never been crooked, never cradled the love or hate side of a pistol, never punched with no regret. My hand is small, hairless as a newborn, my wrist thin as a promise breaking. This is shaking up in the park. The big boys have deemed me not soft today. They see the way I ball, a blur and menace, wild as a punch landed in the wrong stomach or a bullet through the big picture window lodged into a living room wall. I dive into concrete for the loose ball, stroke heavy at arms, swim in a pool of blood that we still won't call a personal foul. Have you played a pickup game running red from three distinct places on your person? If not, then don't throw up any sign of the South Side. When the big boys taught me how to hug with palms, I learned the secret. Shaking up looks like violence and love. And it is. The fingers at the end freeze in a pose like sutra, bent only an inch away from breaking. Both partners in the dance of hands know they could crush the knuckle of the other. They know all is one. They whisper, this fusion in mean mug. My other hand, come, celebrate. Yeah, so I want to do a few things that aren't in the book, and then I'll go back to the book. Because why not? All right. So the book that I'm working on now is called, my next project is called Finna. And it's because Finna is my favorite word. It's a great word. And it, in a lot of ways, it's sort of like thinking about like black language and just how I talk and like the sort of slang that has like built my world, right? So this poem is called On, and I guess what you need to know about it is when I was, so I'm from Chicago, and in my neighborhood, the way that we would like make promises to each other, the way that we would like swear, that we would like indicate seriousness was putting something on something, right? So it'd be like, I put that on everything, I put that on God, whatever, whatever, right? And that was how you let someone know. That was like saying, I swear to God that I'm not telling you a lie. So it's called On. The highest promise we could offer was one to a land or a man or idea greater than we. Someone would exclaim, on folk, I made that shot. Or on chief, I got her number. Or on boss, I didn't see anything that night. When we put covenants on everything, we loved this suggested seriousness. We were not allowed to love in any fickle way. In the revisionist history of my hood genesis, I would be more honest than honest. Put things on my Huffy bike, on my report card, on my citizenship award, on my mama's golden NA necklace, on my grandma's favorite chair, on my father's attention, and the warm air he left each time he fled. After Pierre got shot and his bullet gifter walked the same blocks as the rest of us in uneasy omerta, I didn't think he died. How could he when his name became a vow for us all? Each street dispute punctuated with on P to prove us tellers of truths. When Bird got jumped, his spinal column crushed by our enemies, I assume he made his street name true. A different kind of flight. Everything sacred between ragtown boys now enveloped in the parchment of on Bird and carried away. Cool. All right. Yeah, so I don't want to do that one. So I've been like also sort of in that project, I've been writing like a series of poems sort of like in the voice of like a drunk uncle, like an uncle at a cookout. Right? First off, because like that is like basically who I am like 45 to 85% of the time. But also because, you know, I stay thinking a lot about like a lot about men and how sort of like just like fucked up that men are, just like how the ways in which like we sort of misbehave and mistreat people and are sort of empowered to do so. And I think too often women sort of hold the responsibility for holding those like men accountable for those things, which is fucked up. And also I think that there are like specific ways that men can speak to men that are like powerful and underutilized. So that's these drunk uncle poems. So this one has kind of a long title. It's called Your Auntie Don't Understand Why Your Great Uncle's Such a No Count Negro, and in general, why men resolve to be no count dogs for no good reason. All right. I really should just end it there. And it's not her job to know why men been wrong as often as days got why at they back. But if I didn't tell you, I'd be a negligent uncle. So sit down and poke your chest back in before I make you concave. You sick, boy. We all sick. You drink bad water, you gonna have bad blood. That's just good sense. You ever seen a pit bull with a heavy head and a body sliding into nothing? Well, a dog starving like that might not eat. He was probably beat, maybe lame in a leg or missing an ear. That dog probably got half his teeth and none of his mean gone. He probably attack you when you try to help. He probably sink his one good tooth right in your leg, even if it kills him. That dog is a danger, but it's like this. That dog didn't train himself. That dog learned early a kill is the way to a meal. Here's another one. This one is called What Yes Mean. And it starts with a quote from the poet Aja Monet. The quote is this: I'm trying to find language to talk about these things. Check it out, nephew. What it be like is this. You ever touch the open palm of a cold iron? Best shit you could put on the soft side of your face. Like sweet Jesus kissing you on the cheek. But you gotta check anything you aim to touch beforehand. Otherwise, you might end up messed up. And the messed up thing about the burn is you don't feel it at first. The body shock itself into apathy. But after that, it sting and smooth and bubble and break open and grow back nasty enough to ugly up a baby face motherfucker. And that's the kind of scar you keep. And the thing about it is, even after you don't feel it, everybody see it, and you do too, once your simple ass look in the mirror. Cool. I just like, those poems are just fun to read, so. Oh, you don't gotta like them, I like them. All right. Oh, man. Is anyone rooting for the Cubs? For the record, I hate the Cubs. That was a trick question. All right. that has literally nothing to do with any of the poems I'm about to do. I was just curious. All right. So when I was a kid, I wanted to garden. But I didn't really know the names of flowers or like anything about gardening. So my mom just like bought me some seeds and was like, just don't mess up like that part of the grass. So that was my garden. This poem is called Picking Flowers. Grandma's rose bush, reminiscent of a vice lord's do-rag. The unfamiliar bloom in Mrs. Bradley's yard banging a gangster disciple style blue. The dandelions all over the park putting on Latin King gold like the Chicano cats over east before they turn into a puff of smoke like all us colored boys. Picking dandelions will ruin your hands. Turn their smell into a bitter cologne. A man carries flowers for three reasons. He is in love. He is in mourning. He is a flower salesman. I'm on the express train passing stops to a woman. Maybe she's home. I have a bouquet in my hand, laid on one of my arms like a shotgun. The color is brilliant, a gang war wrapped and cut diagonal at the stems. I am not a flower salesman. That is the only thing I know. So I started jogging, I started jogging like this spring, which is sort of very strange. Jogging is like a weird, I don't know if anyone jog? Anyone? Okay, y'all jog. Like, I don't know if anyone's ever told, this shit is strange. It's like not a regular thing to do. And there's only like one time in my life before that I jogged, when I was like very young. And this is sort of, and I had forgotten about this moment, about what happened. Cause after that I just stopped jogging. But there's this moment that happened when I went to graduate school in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is a little different than the south side of Chicago. So when I went there, I had this experience with jogging that like reminded me of the one time that I attempted to jog. So this is that. It's called In the Land Where White Folk Jog. He walked down the road, dark and abandoned, skull cap and scowl, quick stride and limp. He mug and bump the sound to fuck you up in his headphones. He hear what goes bump other than him in the new moon's no light. He brace for everything. He slide his key in between two fingers of his fist, readies to aim somewhere soft and exposed. He contemplates a cheek or an eye socket. He raise his hand out of pocket like a holster and cocks elbow, and the pat-pat of New Balances bounce down and around the corner. and she glows in her peach thigh and sunflower shorts, and she pat, and he remembers key between fingers is for locking and also entry. He enters a decade earlier, hoping for glory to wash him in high school. He straps up high top only shoe, athletic shoe he owns, and is off. He around the corner and over the glitter of exploded wild Irish roses. He thump thump and crosses the paths of pits and shepherds and Rottweilers. He sees the neighborhood people there, and he thump thump and they do too. He know they never seen someone run in not their hardest way. He never ran in less. He never been in a land where jog is a memory. He never knew someone to run without having to join them or stop them in their tracks. Do some other things, some things outside the book. All right. Cool. So, this is called Doris. I don't know when to April 7th, 2016. And it's after Francine J. Harris's poem. It's not that I didn't like you. It's more that you were never much of anything to me, except always around. Here you are riding my granddaddy's back outside of our house when y'all showed up drunk again, and us kids were the only ones there. You again at Thanksgiving saying something stupid that we all ignore and then saying it again. It's not that I didn't like you. It's more that you were never very smart. The type of woman to have to think about the question when asked her own name. The kind of woman to take up with a married man and never seem to feel anything on the subject. It's not that I didn't like you. It's more my mama didn't. Couldn't fucking stand you, really. It's not her fault, but she couldn't hate her daddy for his sins. And so, sin, you gotta hold this one down on his behalf. It's not that I didn't like you. It's more I barely knew your name growing up. You were just hussy. Or tramp, or slut, or grandma looking teary-eyed at the deflated speed bag in the basement. It's not that I didn't like you. It's more I never expected you to die, which is stupid when I saw you never really lived your own life. You just granddaddy's shadow, same stumble and bad brain. Same sweet pride over this selfish boy named Armstead. It's not that I didn't like you. It's more I just never like thought about you for real. It's not that I didn't like you. It's more I didn't know you had kids or siblings or a mother. I didn't know you were like a real person and shit. Let me tell you something. Tell you something, kids. Best part about being a poet is that you can just end something with like "and shit" and be like, "Yeah, you know." It's like, it's an artistic license, y'all. Say it scans. I did it for the meter. Don't bother me. Right. I don't know why people keep letting me talk. All right. All right. So I'm gonna read this. This is about my barber growing up. Yeah. Has anyone watched the show Luke Cage? Yeah. All right. So if you watch Luke Cage, I was talking to my homeboy, and he was like, "Yo, Luke Cage has like the blackest premise of all time for any like superhero or just like TV show in general." Because basically, spoiler alert, sorry, but it's like in the second episode, so it's cool. Like, his barber gets killed, and then the rest of the joint is like, Like, he's just, like, trying to exact revenge on behalf of his barber, right? Which is, like, maybe, like, the most black man shit one could do. It's just be like, oh, man, my barber's done. All right. It's on. Like, it said, time to use these superpowers. Like, right. But, the barber in Luke Cage is awesome. Then my barber, you'll see, but this is about him. It's called Ball Fade. Richard could slice a nigga from fro to Caesar in 17 flat. He, dream genius of diminishing black curl. He used to pick me up Saturday mornings, stop and cop me McDonald's hotcakes. He sat me in the back of the shop while opening, let me eat, and then readied me for the slice. The ball fade. The neat 90s cut up front, the back graphics, the rounded fro, the cornrow lining, the Michael Jordan Daddy Deluxe, my head a democratic laboratory for nap possibility. My head lived in Richard's hands. Richard was our family friend, haircut on credit close. Hand me candy store money close. Leave me the Curtis comic strips close. First school dance, get me right close. Down the street close. Try to fuck my sister close. Never went to prison close. Check his sex offender registry listing close. Map the route to his house. Close. Consider repaying his cuts. Close. Saw him at the gas station last summer. Close. He, who made my wave pattern, didn't recognize me at the pump after hair loss and decade plus of thickening into man. He would only know me from the way my dome pinches slightly up front. A mark he made with his first fade. Cool. All right. Okay. You guys doing okay? You guys okay? All right. I'll do this real quick. Let me interject for a minute. Seems the ways to raise the crowd is infinite. A million ways to make the beat complete. So I'ma try and compete to speak unique. So first to start, gotta kick it Petrarch. So people know I'm ambitious with the craft. This is for professors who are suspicious of the raps. They should understand there's a rigor to the art. Please watch. How I noun verbs, make a new word. I deans list the spits, I kick it too nerd. You heard the flow is bluebird, pretty and fly. Even MFA committees can't lie. When they give me that degree, I'll happily stop letting y'all download the raps for free. I'ma publish them as poems on the Amazon. Put it on your Kindle, the dough will get back to me. Cool. I wrote that like my senior year of college when I was like supposed to be writing a paper and I was like, fuck this paper, man. I got bars. There's no way I should be writing this paper for history. Wow. Yeah, I don't know. Do as I say, not as I do. All right. I'll do like two more. Thank you guys for not kicking me off this stage. I appreciate you. All right. I'm gonna like try and read some stuff that I don't read a lot. Let's see. All right. The year I got live. A new year and no cycle after my sister dropped in late 88. At the 6 week, Doc asked not mom when her last blood was, and she said a calendar ago. Doc knew a thing amiss, said she got another en route. Not mom was dealing with the news, teary faced and stressed. Went to the crib and cut all the lights out. The fall after that, not uncle rushed his whip to Roseland ER. By the time he parked and pushed upstairs, I was out. Head big as the future. Already had an orbit. At the tip of the decade and everything, not possible, peeled away from our names. Cool. So that's a real, like, so I have a sister that's like 10 and a half months older than me. We're like dumb close in age. And when my mom found out that she was pregnant again, she went home and like turned off all the lights and cried. I found that out because I also have a younger sister. And one time when we were younger, I was like messing with her. I was like, hey, Tasha, guess what? You were a mistake. And my mom was like, no, you were. I was like, damn, mom. I was like, well, I'm here now. And that is, Ohana means family, y'all. I don't know. I don't know what you want from me. All right, I'll just do one more. Thank you for indulging my general silliness. I'll end here. So this poem is called Alzheimer's, which is a disease that my granddad has, which is kind of terrible, but also a little cool because he just sounds like a poem. He like repeats himself constantly. So it's just like, I'm like, oh yeah, this is like a pantoon. Like, all right, granddaddy, you just speak and sustain it. All right, for sure. And there's a lot of things that repeat. So this is about that. It's called Alzheimer's. My nephew doesn't know his address. My granddad can't remember his childhood address. I find it in a scrapbook, a Western Union message to his mom from his Navy days. 4328 South Greenwood, the Black Belt. Trayvon's killer walked free tonight. I went to the old address and cried in my car. This is where I came from. I drive away and remember Keller Gifted School. I head south on I-94 and then west toward the school. It sits in the Mount Greenwood neighborhood. Mount Greenwood was white and scary. In fourth grade, the neighborhood kids would piss on our playground, break windows, scrawl nigger on the walls outside. The neighborhood parents knew. The neighborhood parents were busy burning the newly black-owned house down the block. This is where I came from. White folk violence isn't hypothetical to me. It's not historical or systemic. It's elementary school, like Pokemon or sleepovers. My granddad can't remember where he grew up. I can. My nephew doesn't know his address yet. He'll remember it soon. Thank you.